This week's topic is Migo Diskatzai L'Berashmashos Diskatzai L'Kulei Yoma. We've discussed all the different types of Mukta. Now we're going to discuss when something is Mukta at a given time, does that determine its Mukta status for the entire day? So the general concept of Migo Diskatzai is that if you have something that, let's say, for whatever reason is Mukta when Shabbos starts, during the Berashmashos, B'Knisas HaShabbos, on Friday night Berashmashos, for whatever reason it's Mukta during Berashmashos, and then that which makes it Mukta goes away. Let's say it's soaking wet clothing, just to give an example. So soaking wet clothing has no use at all, you can't wear it, so it's mukta during Ben HaShemashos, but it dries. The mukta status goes away after time. So theoretically, we'll see practically how this plays out, but theoretically one would say that once it was mukta Ben HaShemashos, so it's mukta for the entire rest of Shabbos. That is the basic idea of the rule, and that is, if you look in the first source, which is on the bottom of the front page, the outline is pretty short this week, Shulchan Aruch and Aruch Chaim Sim Shin Yud Sif Gimel, Bein Be'isra Achila, whether you're dealing with something that you're not allowed to eat or that you're not allowed to move, something that's mukta la'achila or something that's mukta for tiltul, called davar shayirotli ben hashmashos, anything that was usable during ben hashmashos, im irabo davar shenaskalkel bo bayom, the chazak v'niskan bo bayom, if it got ruined that day and then it got better that day, chazur lehetero, then it becomes mutter again, meaning something that becomes muksa for a few moments on Shabbos morning and then gets fixed up and is fine Shabbos afternoon, so good, it's fine Shabbos afternoon, it's not muksa anymore. Aval, and here's the key line, davar shehiksa ben hashmashos asur kol hayom. If it was muksa during ben hashmashos, then that's it, then it's out for the rest of the day, then it's muksa for the rest of the day, even though whatever was making it muksa is not there anymore. Now it shouldn't be muksa anymore. Similarly, the Shulchan Aruch says this in like 5 different places, this concept of Migo Diskatzai. It comes up all over the place. So if you look at source number 2, just another example, Mita Shiyesh Aleha Ma'os, O Afilu Ein Aleha, this is Mishin Yudziv Zayin in Shulchan Aruch, if a bed has money, or even Ein Aleha Ata, right now doesn't have money on it, Vahayu Aleha Bein HaShemashos, but it had money on it at Bein HaShemashos when Shabbos was starting, also l'taltel, you're not allowed to be metaltel, you're not allowed to move it, to migo diskatzoy, the ben hashmashos diskatzoy l'kule yoma, since it was mukta ben hashmashos, it remains mukta the whole day, v'uadin l'kol davar heter shamanach alav aser. Fine, the halacha is anything else that was on it is going to be aser, anything that was mukta at the time ben hashmashos is mukta for the whole day. That's the rule, straight and simple. The thing is, it's not so straight and simple. There are a bunch of qualifications where the rule will and will not apply. It's interesting, looking in Poskim where they discuss this, the only major Posek who has a whole kuntrus on this topic that I was able to find was Rosh Shlomo Zalman Orbach. Rosh Shlomo Zalman Orbach has a whole section in Minchas Shlomo on Migo Diskatzai. And what was the topic of the tshuva of Migo Diskatzai? Why would he have a whole section of Migo Diskatzai? Why is this so practical? So the topic was whether you're allowed to open up a refrigerator on Shabbos. This was a major debate, where we take it for granted that we open up. Now they have Sabbath mode refrigerators without all the bells and whistles on all the new refrigerators they turn off, and you could open up without things lighting up and all sorts of other safety devices where the compressor goes off as soon as you open it and things like that. They have all sorts of, not safety, but energy saving, I guess, devices that they have in the new refrigerators. So the Sabbath mode turns all that off. The old-fashioned refrigerator is what Rav Shlomo Zalman was talking about. Do you have to worry that every time you open it up, it's going to turn on, the motor is going to turn on. If the motor is off, do you have to worry that it's going to turn on if the motor is on? Is there a problem with extending the time that it's on? So he has a whole long, very long tshuva in the first volume of Mincha Shlomo on this topic, and the entire first section of that tshuva is about Migo Diskatzai. Why in the world would it be about Migo Diskatzai? Because it says like this, let's assume that if you take for granted that while the motor is off, you're not allowed to open the fridge because the motor might turn on, what if right now, Shabbos morning, the motor's on? So it's no problem to turn it on because you're not going to be turning the motor on. But during Ben HaShemashos, the motor was off. So if during Ben HaShemashos, the motor was off, now it was muktzah during Ben HaShemashos. Muksel tiltal. So he says, well, wait a second, what do you mean tiltal? I'm not moving the refrigerator, I'm just opening the door. He says, yeah, but that's how you move the refrigerator. The refrigerator itself, to move the whole thing, that's muksel machmas ches from kis, that for sure you're not allowed to do. But moving the door is the normal tiltal that you would do with the refrigerator. So maybe it should be miga diskatsai the ben ashmash, diskatsai the kulayoma. So you could immediately think of three or four answers as to why that wouldn't be the case, and Rav Shlomo Zalman deals with all of them, but he uses that as his springboard to discuss this entire topic. So a lot of what we say appears in that tshuva. Found a couple of other nice pieces on the topic, and we'll see. But that's the basic rule. Let's see what the qualifications are. First of all, there is a discussion in the poskim. What do you mean it was muksa during Ben HaShemashos? How long is Ben HaShemashos? That's already machlokas tanaim, how long Ben HaShemashos is. We do not paskin that it's keheref ayin, that it's just a single period of time, or at least we don't paskin that we know when that heref ayin is. Right? So there is an extended period of time that we would consider to be Ben HaShemashos. The number of shitos as to exactly how long and what time of the year, and where, depends on what time of the year, where you live, and which shitos you want to paskin like, but it is an extended period of time. Let's say it's 25 minutes, 30 minutes, whatever it is, sometime between Shkia and Seis HaKochavim, there is this period called Ben HaShemashos. Does the item have to be muktza for the entire Ben HaShemashos in order for it to be muktza for the rest of Shabbos? Or does it just have to be muktza at a point during Ben HaShemashos in order for it to be muktza for the rest of Shabbos? So if you look at Rashi in Shabbos Mem Dalem Beis, source number 3, so Rashi writes, Shelo hayu aleha kol Ben HaShemashos, aval hayu aleha kol Ben HaShemashos, is katzai l'kulayoma. That if it was there, he's discussing a particular muktza situation, was muktza for the entire Ben HaShemashos, then it's going to be muktza for the rest of the day. Rashi very much implies that the only way it's going to create a muktza problem that's going to last throughout the day is if the muktza goes throughout Ben HaShemashos, and therefore it's no surprise that the Mishnah Berurah writes in source number 4, Simchin Tes, Hivkat Nites, the Knisas HaShabbos Hainu, Kol Zman Ben HaShemashos. The entire period of Ben HaShemashos. It has to be in its entirety. And a little more elaboration, Shulchan Aruch Rav also says like this, Shulchan Aruch Rav, Simen Shin Yud, Siv Zayin, V'kol Zeh B'davar Shaya Mukta, Kol Ben HaShemashos. This whole idea of Migla Diskatzai is only if it was Mukta throughout the entire Ben HaShemashos. Av'davar Shaya Roy B'Ben HaShemashos, Afilu B'Miktsasa Levad. But if something was ra'ui at any point during Ben HaShemashos, even just a tiny portion of Ben HaShemashos, v'achar kach niskalkel, b'inyan sheneser b'achilo b'tiltul, and then it gets ruined in a way that you're not going to be, that it's going to be muktza, b'in sheniskalkel me'elav, b'in shenivcha b'dei adam, whether it gets ruined on its own, or whether you did something to make it muktza, that's the chilek that we're going to see later. There's a difference between something that becomes muktzah and something that you make muktzah. Classic example of making something muktzah is grogrus tzmukin, is when you take grapes or figs and you put them on the roof to dry them. So you put them in a position where they're now going to turn bad before they turn good. And while they're bad, they're muktzah. So you are makta them directly. So regardless of how it became muktzah, v'achar kach chazer v'niskan, chazer le'atero, it would become mutter. We don't say that just because something was muksa for a portion of Shabbos, it's got to be muksa the whole Shabbos. She'ein omrim kein. We're only going to say the only point that matters to us is the period of Ben HaShemashos, but says the Shulchan Aruch Rav, the entire period of Ben HaShemashos. If it was muktzah during the entire period of Ben HaShemashos. So this, he's making really two important points. One is that it has to be muktzah throughout the entire period of Ben HaShemashos in order for the muktzah to carry forward the rest of the day. And the other important point is that there's no other point during the day where we're going to say, oh, well, once it's muktzah now, it's going to be muktzah the rest of the day. If it becomes muktzah on Shabbos morning, and then whatever made it muktzah stops, it's going to be mutter again. It's not going to remain muktzah. It's dafka, the period of Ben HaShemashos.
Does the idea of like when you make early Shabbos,
right?
And let's say like I make early Shabbos, I forget to turn on a light, and I ask someone who's making late Shabbos to come turn on the light.
So that's an interesting question. We're going to discuss later. Hopefully, Rav Asher Weiss has a whole piece where he tries to figure out, is muktzah a din in the gavra or a din in the cheftza? Meaning, does muktzah mean that in my das, this item is muktzah, so I've already set it aside as something I can't use? Or is it something that becomes unusable? Something that's not in my das. Maybe that would be enough kamina, because if I made a early Shabbos, I'm a kabbal Shabbos, absolutely asur for me to do malacha. So or you could say, no, I know that there are other people that haven't made early Shabbos, and therefore I haven't completely put it out of my mind. It's like a backup plan. Like in the summertime, sometimes we make early Shabbos and we forgot to turn on the air conditioner, and it's 900 degrees outside, or something like that, and we open up the shades at our front, by our living room, and we just watch who's walking to shul. So when we catch them on their way into shul, because there's no isser of Amir li Yisrael, who when the Jew has not been mekabel Shabbos yet, you're allowed to ask him to do malacha for you. So we've made a few people late to mincha over the years. He's probably been you at some point or another also. So it's happened. So maybe you never max it midaito. Maybe even if it's even the gavri, you never really put it out of your mind entirely.
Well, you also have like your wife will light candles and say turn off the stove, turn off this, turn on that light.
Right, Ramosha has a tshuva that a husband and wife do not have to be mekabel Shabbos at the same time. What we always recommend is that's why we put in the we used to when we announced the plag minyan, we used to put in a warning. We probably should that women are very often used to lighting candles right before the husband goes to shul. Problem is, husband's going to plag minyan means he's davening mincha 10-15 minutes before plag. You're not allowed to be mekabel Shabbos till plag. So if the woman's lighting within 15 minutes of the husband leaving the house, it's no good. She's lighting too early. It's not proper. She's not doing the mitzvah of Hadlux Ner Shabbos. It has to be when you're able to be Makabal Shabbos. She's trying to be Makabal Shabbos. She can't. So we always say, you can be Makabal Shabbos, but try to do it sometime before your husband comes home. Why sometime? We say a half hour after he goes to shul, you should do it. Why sometime before he comes home? Just because it's not good for the kids. The kids are going to see it's Shabbos for daddy, not for mommy. That's a little bit confusing. But technically, there's no problem of having separate kabbalas of Shabbos for the husband and wife. Okay, but anyway, so it seems very clear. Rashi, Mishnah Berurah, Shulchan Aruch Harav. In order for it to apply this rule, migudus katzai ben hashmashos katzai l'kulei yoma, it's got to be that it's muksa for the entire ben hashmashos. So I saw in the footnote to the Rabbi Rav Simcha ben Kohn's sefer that he quotes a sefer Tehillah l'David, a sefer I don't have, but he quotes it, so I typed it up over here. If you look in source number 6, Tehillah l'David. B'simin reishayin gimel sivkat nizayin kasafti da eishal avroim nistapik b'skatzoi miksas ben hashmashos yiskatzoi lukulayoma. Primogadim raises it as a suffix. Primogadim happens to bring that Rashi that we saw before as a raya, the Rashi in Shabbos, as a raya that it's got to be muktzah for the entire ben hashmashos in order for the muktzah to carry forward for the rest of Shabbos. But he at least raises it as a suffix. V'arav zal daito b'kan sivzayin, de b'dover shoy ro'i b'miktsas b'in hashmashos, lo iskatsa'i l'kula yoma, v'chas v'sholom lo lachlok basi, aval hadover tzorich iyun. So he says, the Mishnah Berurah clearly assumes that it's not, that it's, if it's only muktzah for part of b'in hashmashos, that does not kick it into gear for the rest of Shabbos, and God forbid, I don't want to argue, but, we need to analyze this fairly. Ayin beit salam and amid beis. Ba'omer eni bodel mehem kol ben hashmashos. Person says, I'm not going to, throughout the entire ben hashmashos, I'm not going to be mak to them from my das. I'm not going to separate from them the entire ben hashmashos. Pirush Rashi Zal, kol sha'os orech ben hashmashos. The entire period of ben hashmashos. Ubisimin tafresh lamelches siv beis kosev rama v'zel shono. In tafresh lamelches, the Rama writes as follows. V'tzarech lasos hatanai kodem ben hashmashos. Vayin sham b'darkei Moshe, shekas b'shem Maril Zal, shetzorich lamud ben hashmashos ulahasnos, v'cholak aleha, ki tzorich lasos kein kodem ben hashmashos, kimei achar shenichnas safek ben hashmashos, su lo mani t'nai. Vare mevur lehedya d'boi kol ben hashmashos. What are they arguing about over there? Is it too late to stop the mukta partially into ben hashmashos? I mean, if you're going to make a tanai in your mind that it's not muktzah in your mind for ben hashmashos, does that tanai have to happen completely before ben hashmashos starts? Or let's say you're 2 minutes into ben hashmashos, can you now say, yeah, I know it's been muktzah for the last 2 minutes, but now in my mind it's no longer muktzah? Is that enough? So this is the flip side. It's the flip side of what we were discussing. We wanted to know, do you need it to be muktzah the entire ben hashmashos to make it aser? What about to make the flip side would be, what about to make it mutter? Is it okay to just find a little portion of Benesh Mashos where it's going to be not Muktzah, and then that will stop the Muktzah from kicking in for the rest of Shabbos. So it seems that in the Ramah, in Tafresh Lamed Ches, no, Tafresh Lamed Ches, that's not Hilchos Shabbos, what's Tafresh Lamed Ches? So in Tafresh Lamed Ches is Hilchos Sukkah. That's already way at the end of Aruch Chaim. Where does Muktzah and Benesh Mashos come up in Hilchos Sukkah? So when we talk about the use of the Atzei HaSukkah, the Noi Sukkah, the Esrog, all of these things, you have an issue of Muktzah, and specifically the issue of Kivin Diskaskai the Benesh Mashos. What kind of Muktzah do these things have? They're Huktzah on the Mitzvasan. That since the Esrog is designated to use for the Mitzvah of Esrog, so you're not allowed to use it for other things. You're not allowed to use an Esrog for a juggling act or whatever you might want to use, a paperweight, I don't know, whatever else you might want to use an Esrog for, you're not allowed to use it because it's Huktzah on the Mitzvasan. But wait a second, seventh day, Hoshana Rabbah, is ending, so toward the end of the day, it's still Muktzah. But the Bein HaShemash is going from Hoshana Rabbah to Shmini Atzeres, so it should still be Muktzah. Does that mean that it's going to remain Muktzah for Shmini Atzeres as well? So that's the discussion in Tafresh Lamed Ches. That's why he quotes Tafresh Lamed Ches. But the Mashmaus over there is that that you need the entire Bein HaShemashos to be okay. But if it was Muktzah even for part of Bein HaShemashos, then it would be, the Muktzah would kick in to aser it for the entire rest of the day. So it's a bit of a stira, because over here the Shulchan Aruch and the Mishnah Brura in particular is what he's worried about. The Mishnah Brura sounds like an Ilchos Shabbos. Mishnah Brura sounds like the Muktzah is only going to kick in for the rest of the day if it's been Muktzah the entire Ben HaShemashos. But on Tafresh Lamed Ches, the Mishnah Brura sounds that the Muktzah is going to kick in even if it's just been Muktzah for a part of Ben HaShemashos. The only way to prevent the Muktzah from kicking in is if you make it not Muktzah for the entire Bein HaShemashos. So what's the pshat? There's a stira in the Mishnah Brura. So Rav Shlomo Zalman, in that tshuva, in that Chelek Aleph Simen Yud, Anaf Aleph, the whole Anaf Aleph is all on Migo Diskatzai, Oz Dalet, he writes as follows. Source number 9. Avol kol zeh dafke im hamakarer hayonach b'kol hazman shel Bein HaShemashos. Right, he's discussing the refrigerator, opening up the refrigerator. So he says, is it a problem Migo Diskatzai, since the refrigerator was Muktzah during Bein HaShemashos? He says, when is it Muktzah? Only when the motor's not on. So that's only going to be a problem if the motor remained off for the entire Bein HaShemashos, because then it was Muktzah the entire Bein HaShemashos. That's like who? That's like the Mishnah Berurah says in Hilchos Shabbos. That's not like the Mishnah Berurah says in Hilchos Sukkah. So he quotes all our marmakomos. Shulchan Aruch Rav, the Mishnah Brura, everyone on Chashavah says that the Muktzah is only going to kick in if it was Muktzah for the entire Bein HaShemashos. And it would seem to reason that the reverse would be true as well. Let's say when Bein HaShemashos began, it was Muktzah, because the motor was off. And then still in Bein HaShemashos, the motor kicks on, so now it becomes not Muktzah. We're not going to say Migo Diskatzai. Aye, what about Tafresh Lamed Ches? So comes along Shlomo Zalman in the second paragraph. To undo the Muktzah halfway through Bein HaShemashos doesn't help you any, because as long as the Muktzah was there for even part of Bein HaShemashos, it's going to be Muktzah for the entire day. So what are we going to do? How are we going to answer? Says Rav Shlomo Zalman, Efshar Shemuktzah Machmas Mitzvah Chamur Yoser. Maybe Muktzah Machmas Mitzvah is a different story. Keep in mind, what are we talking about in Tafresh Lamed Ches, like we just said? We're talking about Noi Sukkah, Atzei Sukkah, Esrog, things that are Muktzah because they are designated to be used for a mitzvah. Kivin shegam be'emtza hayom nasa Muktzah l'kol hayom. Ve'inom she'muktzah l'chatzi Shabbos. Now I'll bring you a raya, says Rosh Hashanah Zalman, that it's more chamur. What if you decide in middle of the first day of Sukkot, let's say you were looking for the most beautiful esrog you could find, and you had one, you know, set aside, but you weren't planning on using it for a mitzvah, you were planning on using that for your esrog salad, if there is such a thing. And someone should get on it, and so should work on it for the Shabbos after, it's better than a shlissel chal, we'll make a new skula, you're first. We'll make it a skula for something good, so people will do it. Make it for parnasa, everyone will do it. So you take the esrog is meant for your esrog salad, and then you're looking for a better esrog, and you found a more beautiful one. And then on the first, so the first one isn't muksa at all, because the first one is, that's for your salad. That has nothing to do. It's a fruit. So then on Sukkot, the first morning of Sukkot, you see one of your kids took the beautiful new one and, you know, you stabbed it with a pen or, you know, whatever, did something that completely destroyed it. So now what do you do? Thank God I have a backup, right? So you go take the backup one. So does that esrog become muktzah for the entire day necessarily? Because now I want to use esrog number one as my mitzvah. So tuktzul mitzvasa. Can a muktzah that only began halfway through the day necessarily carry through the rest of the day? By the next day I know I'm going to have a different esrog. Let's say someone's bringing me a different one. So I don't really need to use it for the... Does this become muktzah necessarily for the rest of the day? The halacha is by tuktzul mitzvasa, yes. Whereas the halacha by muktzah on Shabbos is not that way. If clothing becomes wet on Shabbos to the point that you can't wear it anymore, it does not become muktzah for the rest of the day. If it dries, so it dries. It doesn't become muktzah for the rest of the day. It's only something that became muktzah during Bein HaShemasha. So we see tuktzul mitzvasa is a more chamor form of muktzah, and therefore even on the Bein HaShemasha level, Migo Deskatzai the Bein HaShemasha is going to be more chamor. It will only have to be muktzah for a portion of Bein HaShemasha to be a problem. Okay, that's one qualification. Again, Migo Deskatzai the Bein HaShemasha, Mistamil halacha, the way we pass things, like it says in the Mishnah Berura, that it would have to be muktzah for the entire Bein HaShemasha in order for that muktzah to carry forward for the rest of the day. Second important qualification is that we only say Migo Diskatsai when the muktzah was made muktzah by a person. If it was made muktzah on its own, it happened me'elav, it didn't happen by a person doing anything, then we wouldn't say Migo Diskatsai. The example of Simcha Burim Kohn gives is if you take an expensive painting and you put it up on the wall, right? So we discussed whether pictures on the wall are necessarily muktzah, machmas, chesron, kis, but we said for sure if it's a very expensive painting and you put it up on the wall where no one could touch it or handle it, and that's why it's there, that's why it's put there, so that would definitely be muktzah, machmas, chesron, kis. If it's just some photographs that you put on the wall, it's not because they're so valuable you put them on the wall, you just want them on the wall because it's easier for people to see that way, and you know, but it's not really, it wouldn't make it muktzah per se. But an expensive painting you put on the wall, what made it muktzah? You putting it there, you designating that spot for it because you're nervous about it getting ruined anywhere else, that's what made it muktzah. That's an active form of muktzah. The flip side, he gives the example, what if you have a banana that's not yet ripe, it's not edible yet, so you didn't make a muktzah. It just isn't ready yet. And then on Shabbos, it becomes ready. On Shabbos, it was totally green. It couldn't eat it. And then on Shabbos, I don't know, whatever the tricks are, brown paper bag or something. I don't know if that's for bananas or something else. Whatever it is, it becomes edible. So you can say, Migo deskatzai le ben ashmas, deskatzai le kuliyoma. You know, there's a discussion in Poskim. We're going to see in a moment. What about if you have food that's too hot to eat at ben ashmashas? So you can say, Migo deskatzai le ben ashmasha, deskatzai le kuliyama. It was muktzah ben ashmasha. There's nothing I could do with it. If it was useless. What?
You were the one put it in the oven.
So that, right. And that would be bad over here, because we're saying Migo deskatzai applies when it's your fault, when you're the one that did it. So we're going to have to see how we get out of that one. Yeah. So, but this is the chilek. This is the chilek that the post can make. If you take a look at Shulchan Aruch, Shin Yud Ches, Siv Bei, source number 10, Hashochet b'Shabbos l'chola, Bein shechala me'etmol, bein shechala hayom, mutra bari lechol menu. If a person shechts on Shabbos for a chola, whether he got sick the previous day, he got sick that day, a healthy person is allowed to eat from it. And when it comes to doing malacha for a chola sheish basakana, so the Rambam writes very strongly about you don't ask any questions and you should, it's a mitzvah to do it. And you know, they say, Rav Shecht always likes to tell the story when one of Rav Chaim's grandchildren was sick. I don't know if it was one of Rav Moshe's children, one of the Briskarov's children, forget exactly who the story was with, but or maybe one of he had other sons also, I think. But But when one of Reb Chaim's grandchildren was sick, so the doctor came, and he said, "Doctor, could you use more light?" It was on Shabbos, and the doctor said, "Yeah, it would be helpful if I had a little more light." So Reb Chaim turned to whoever it was, let's say it was the Brisker Rav, and said, "No, turn on the light." So the Brisker Rav was like, he was frozen. So Reb Chaim runs over, turns on the light, and gives a Musar Shmuz. "Don't you know the Rambam? If it's a Chol HaShiyesh B'Sakana, you do it, you don't ask any questions. That's what you do." So a guy over here in the Shulchan Aruch shechts for a Chol HaShiyesh B'Sakana. Needs to have meat for whatever reason, and there was no other meat available. So he shechted for a Chol HaShiyesh B'Sakana. Says the Mishnah Berurah, Source 11, V'lo Aminan, Da Behema Himukta Machmas Iser, Tis Katsai Be'Rash Mashos Machmas Iser Shechita. Well, wait a second. If you shechted on Shabbos, granted, malacha, it's not a problem because you're doing it for a chol sheish b'sakana. But how can I? So the chol will eat it. How can I eat it? The chol can violate muktzah, can violate malacha. Good. I don't need this meat really. Why am I allowed to eat it? After all, shouldn't it be muktzah? Because at Ben Hashmashos it was muktzah machmas iser. I wasn't allowed to shecht it during Ben Hashmashos. So it was muktzah machmas iser. Sheba osa pam lo ayachola adayin. She adaito ala l'shachta. The guy wasn't sick, or he wasn't. Or the sick guy wasn't there yet at Ben Hashmashos. Da'anan kaimel and krabi shim v'les le muktzah elahechi didachya biadayin kigon ner shedliko alav bolsa shabbos didachya biadayim shlo l'shtamish bolsa shabbos kivin shidukbo alav gebe v'hema lo dachya biadayim. There's the nekuda. There's the yisod. Says the Mishnah Berurah. Big difference between the muktzah of, let's say, a candle that was lit, a painting that was hung, versus muktzah of an animal that you can't shecht. The muktzah of an animal that you can't shecht is not of your doing. It was muktzah that happened on its own. And on such muktzah, we don't say this klal of migul dis katzai l'bina shmashos is katzai l'kule yoma. Good, but that is that. So that's one very important chiluk, that when it comes to migul dis katzai, it has to be something that the way it became a muktzah was by your doing. Now, there may be an exception to that exception. And again, what was the exception? If it became muktzah by itself, then we're not going to say migo diskatzai, right? So take a look at the Mishnah Berurah in source number 12. Simin shin yud sivkat yud tes. Mishnah Berurah writes kasvu aposkim. So right off the bat, kasvu aposkim. You could be a little more specific, perhaps, than kasvu aposkim. Baruch Hashem, he has a Shaar Tzion, and he quotes the Levushei Sarad, I think, and one other posik, I forget. But what? The Chavim Meisha. Okay, so normally, if you can say a big chiddush, you're hoping for a Magen Avraham and a Taz and a Biki Veger. Okay, let's see what he says. Kasva Poskim, Emasai Amirim Diskatzai Leben Hashmashos, Dafka Dvarim Shegamru Bidei Shemayim. When do we say it's Katzai Leben Hashmashos? Only something that's Gamro Bidei Shemayim. Kigon, Grogros, Te'im Nigmarin Aliyal Dei Chomachama. How's it going to get out of the Muktzah? How's it going to stop being Muktzah? So when I make raisins, I take the grapes, put them up my roof. Is there anything I can do to unmukta it, to make the process go faster where it won't be disgusting and there'll be delicious raisins? Nothing I could do. I just got to hope Hashem brings the sun out and makes the sun shine and doesn't make it rain and makes it work out. There's nothing I can do to make that process end. V'shem yomanan v'shabes v'asach daite minayu. Avol dover shenigmar b'dayadam. But something that's within my control to bring it back, to make it unmukta, kigon tomorrow shnasan leim mayim bar of Shabbos. After bevada inam ruim bebein hashmashos lo tomorrow v'lo mayim the lo kaltu tava tomorrow shi ruim l'shtia v'gam tomorrow lo chazin afilu hachi lo asach daite minayu al yom Shabbos shei mukta machmazeh to be yodol hashosan ad l'machar sheiklatu tama tamarim. So what do we just say? If I made the item mukta, so then we're going to say migud diskatzay lebein hashmashos katzay l'kuli yoma. Yeah, but if just like I made it muktzah, I can make it on muktzah, I could take away the muktzah, well then migo diskatzai is not going to apply. Why? Now let's go to the svar, something we probably should have done right at the very beginning of this year. What is the idea of migo diskatzai le ben hashmashos diskatzai le kuli yama? Why does ben hashmashos matter so much? Why does it matter whether during ben hashmashos it was muktzah or not? Right now it's not muktzah, so what do I care what it was, what its history was? So the idea of migo diskatzai le ben hashmashos probably is that when Shabbos starts, you have like this, whether it's an active thought process or just something that you, if asked, you would be able to identify, you identify in your brain or in your subconscious what's going to be used, what you're going to use over Shabbos, what you're going to need over the course of Shabbos. And anything that's not in your brain to be used over the course of Shabbos, when Shabbos begins, is as if it was huktsa midaito. It's been shunned from your brain, and that is the definition of muktza, something that you've put out of your mind as possibly being able to use over Shabbos. Something that's muktza right now, but I know full well, is going to be fine for use on Shabbos. It's going to get better because I can control it. And this is where we come back to what we were discussing before, the boiling hot soup. I can't eat it, it's too hot, it's useless to me during Ben HaShemashos, let's say. So you say, well, I made it that hot, and therefore, we should say Migo Deskatzai, because anything that I put in the position of Mukta, we should say should be Mukta the whole day, so shouldn't my soup be Mukta? Well, the answer is, of course I want to use the soup on Shabbos, and I'm planning on using the soup on Shabbos, and it's completely within my control to make sure the soup is usable on Shabbos. I'll take it off the heat source, I'll put an ice cube, not getting into the ice cube situation, but you know, the heter, whatever it is, I'll mix it with some cooler water, I'll do something, I'll figure something out, and I'll make, it's in my control to make it better. So if it's in my control to make it better, mainly you're not going to say, Migad is katsai, the Ben HaShemashos, is katsai lekulei yoma. That's the Mishnah Berurah's Chiddush. Wonderful. Mishnah Berurah gives this Chiddush, but he quotes it b'shem poskim. He doesn't tell us who the poskim, he tells us in the footnote who the poskim are, but he doesn't tell us what the mainstream poskim have to say about this, if anything. So I saw in a very long footnote in Rav Simcha Bunim Kohn's Sefer, in the art scroll Hilchos Mukta Sefer, where he takes this Mishnah Brura to task. Where is it? On page, I have it backwards, I think. Page 5 and 6, I think I have it out of order. But on page 5, which I think should be the first of the two pages, not the second one. In footnote number 4 on the left hand side of the page, I just underline everything. I don't know why I do that. I apologize for all the underlines. But in footnote number 4 on the left hand side of the page, so he quotes the Mishnah Berurah, the exact Mishnah Berurah we just quoted, that as long as I have the ability to undo it, so then everything's going to be good. So he writes, for Isi b'sefer Mishnah Halacha ala Mishnah Berurah. What's Mishnah Halacha? I don't have the sefer. I don't know what it is. I don't know the sefer. Sheher b'zeh ha'ora gedola. He has a following ha'ara on the Mishnah Berurah. Hinei hu tamia gedola mehad davar zeh kenira lohuva rak derech grara v'gam shelo b'bir kala pratam zeh. Meaning, Mishnah Berurah just mentions this, he tucks it away somewhere, in the middle of a sifkaten somewhere, doesn't make a big deal about it, just, yeah, the kasva poskim. This seems to be like a pretty big rule, that that part of the dine muksa is that if I have the ability to undo the muksa, so then it's not going to be muksa. So that seems pretty big. So that right away is a pella. So then I realized, Mishnah Berurah says that the poskim hold this way. Not every pasuk holds this way, and I'll tell you why. V'imkein be'emes sarachi in mashakas v'mishnah berurah stama kasva poskim. Dinirim l'shon zeh, she has skamas kala poskim. Mishnah Berurah just writes, yeah, kasva poskim, as if everyone agrees. V'hinei. So let's go back to the beginning, he says. Let's study the sugya, see where the Mishnah Berurah got it from, and see if there's any alternate understanding of the sugya that maybe will be at odds with the Mishnah Berurah. It starts with the Gemara Maseches Beitza. V'zeh Lashon HaGemara. Toshema mepulin va'adashim. Da pulin va'adashim meikara chazulakus. These are beans and lentils that you could chew on when they're raw. Shadinu b'kedera adchulahu. When you put them in a pot to start cooking, half cooked, they're worthless. Or let's say less, you know, a quarter cooked, they're worthless. They're not good for chewing. I don't know why they're good for chewing before, but for whatever reason, they're considered good for chewing before. When they're a quarter cooked, they're absolutely worthless. They're muktzah. They're nothing you could do with them. Gamra bishulayu chazaluhu. They finish cooking, they become good again. Samle abayil tamech tikshilach kederos dialma. Thus tam kederos dialma ben hashmashos rod chosein. So the Gemara asked the kasha about the boiling food. Any pot of food that you have for Shabbos, when Ben HaShemashos comes, is boiling hot. Lord Ta'achlinu Minayu, and yet we eat from it when the Shabbos mealtime comes. I shouldn't it be Muktzah Ben HaShemashos, and therefore Muktzah for the entire day? Ela Gamru B'Dayadom Lo Kami Baylon. So the Gemara says this. Gam Rabbi De'Adam is the reason why it's okay to eat from that food. Gam Rabbi De'Adam lo kaim baylan kikayim alen Gam Rabbi De'Shamayim. Now, how did the Mishnah Berurah understand Gam Rabbi De'Adam? Obviously, the way he understood the Gemara's answer, is, I have the ability to take my food and make it less hot, and therefore it's not muksa. That's what Gam Rabbi De'Adam means. Good, but we're biased. We're biased because we saw the Mishnah Berurah before we saw this Gemara. Is there any other pshat in this Gemara? So Pirush Rashi, ul taimech de mashas l'retichtan toras muktza v'chulei elamidi de gamru b'nei adam lo kemi bayilan. We're not asking a shayla about something that's gamru b'nei adam. De kivan de v'yadol v'sakno bo b'yom lo maktzalei midaitei v'prei de chiyasam. That's something you can fix that day. You're not going to push out of your mind. Hilkach pulin v'chulei kikam bayilan gamru b'nei shemayim. But something that's gamru b'dei shemayim, that it's not up to you to take away its muktzah status, then a person is going to have full haschadas from it. That sounds very much like the Mishnah Berurah. Again, sounds perfect. Ubetosos Shabbos mem gimel amrav tibur maskel b'aldin alav kasu b'zay lashon. Tosos writes, v'yishlomer d'shayni kederos im hutzarech lehu. Here's Tosos' keyword, im hutzarech lehu bein hashmashos. What's he saying? That the hot food, if you needed it then, during Ben HaShemashos, you'd have the ability to cool it down. I don't care, you can cool it down tomorrow morning, you can make it non-muktzah tomorrow morning. That won't help me. If it was muktzah the entire Ben HaShemashos, it's muktzah for Kol HaShabbos. But what did we say before? What if it's only muktzah for part of Ben HaShemashos? Then it's not going to be muktzah the rest of Shabbos. So what if it was muktzah for part of Ben HaShemashos, for the entire Ben HaShemashos, but it didn't have to be? I could have stopped it during Ben HaShemashos. So in that case, that's where the Gemara says that it's not going to be muktzah l'kulei yoma. If it was in hutzarech l'ben HaShemashos, so you mekaran. And now if you look back at Rashi, you have no hechrech to say Rashi saying like the Mishnah Berurah. Rashi might be saying like the Tosfos, that you could be misakin it right then and there. I'm not convinced by that, because what did Rashi say? Biyadol l'sakno, bo bayom. What does bo bayom mean? You could fix it that day. So I read that as any time over Shabbos you could fix it. It means bo bayom is before the Ben HaShemashos is over and Shabbos begins. I don't know, I'm not convinced that he reads like Tosfos. I thought it sounds more like the Mishnah Berurah. V'imkein ein mikan shum raya the dover shi yisalik min ha-mukza bevadeh b'Shabbos lo amrin b'zakim v'diskatsoi Ben HaShemashos v'diskatsoi kol ha-Shabbos k'shu b'gavna tal kol panim Ben HaShemashos einam ru'uyim. So he says it's not a raya necessarily that the Mishnah Berurah is correct, and that sometimes you might have something that you know for sure that its mukza will stop before Ben HaShemashos, before Shabbos is over, but still we're going to say migo diskatsoi l'Ben HaShemashos is katsoi l'kule yoma. So he points out, he goes through the rest of, we're not going have time to go through the rest of the footnote, but in the rest of the footnote he points out why the Levushe Sarad, who understood the Taz a certain way, says this way, but he's not convinced that this is correct. Nevertheless, this is the statement in the Mishnah Berurah, and it seems to have been accepted by all other major poskim besides from this Mishnah Halach on the Mishnah Berurah. Rav Shlomo Zalman, in that very long tshuva about Migo Diskatzai, does seem to accept it, that if you have the ability to make sure that it will be done, and you know bivadai that it will be done. So, for instance, the classic case, Rav Shlomo Zalman points this out, classic case in poskim where it's not in your control and you have no idea, is if you have soaking wet clothing hanging on a clothesline outside. It used to be before there were dryers. That's how they would dry their clothing. And you have no control over the weather. And as much as you think and you hope it's going to be dry by tomorrow, it's really not in your control. It's the same thing as having the grapes, you know, the raisins drying on the roof, which the Gemara gives as the example of something that's not within your control. That's Gamro Bidei Shemayim. So you have clothing drying. So everyone always gave the example as clothing that's wet at the beginning of Shabbos is by definition muksa. Says Rosh Shlomo Zalman, with the advent of dryers, it's no longer the case. Why? Because you put it in the dryer, and the dryer's on, and it's going, and you know that after the 60-minute cycle, 45-minute cycle, I don't know how long the cycles are, I don't know when the last time I did laundry was, but you know at a certain point, it's going to be dry. So as soon as it dries, you know it's going to be dry on Shabbos. So the Gamru B'dei Adam doesn't mean you have to be able to do something to make it dry, it just means that you know it's going to be available to you on Shabbos. So then that wouldn't be an issue of muktzah. Now, Rishon Zalman points out, it's not really appropriate to leave a dryer going into Shabbos because there are other issues. There's Av Shemil, so that you're not supposed to have Rechayim, the Gemara talks about that. You shouldn't have a mill grinding on Shabbos because it makes a very loud noise. So noisy machinery shouldn't be going on in your house on Shabbos. That's why, even though a carpet sweeper may be mutter to use on Shabbos, and the halacha normally is, that you could do Amir al-Akam, everyone always wants to know, if they have non-Jewish help in the house, what can they ask them to do on Shabbos? So the general rule is, anything that can be done, beheter, and they just do it using a malacha for convenience sake. Let's say the dishes. You could use cold water and use those scrubby things and really work on it for a while. Or if you want an easier time, you can take a sponge and hot water and clean it off. So when the housekeeper or whoever is cleaning your dishes with the hot water, that's okay. She's allowed to do that for you, even though you're not allowed to ask her to do malacha, because you didn't ask her to do malacha. You asked her to clean the dishes. She could have done it beheter. She's going to do it beiser, right? That's why you're allowed to ask her to clean the floors. Let's say there are ways to do it beheter. She happens to use a mop and does it beiser. What about vacuuming? So there's a way to do that too. You could use a carpet sweeper, assuming like those poskim that hold that it's mutter, which, did we have a shiur in it here? I have a 10-minute halacha shiur in it online, but there's a major discussion in the poskim. Rabbi Satmar Dayan, what's his name? Rav Harfness in his Nishma Shabbos has a whole tshuva where he goes through all the tzadim and it's mutter. So can you ask a guy to vacuum for you on Shabbos, to clean the carpet for you on Shabbos? The answer is no. Why? Because vacuums make noise. You know, that have things that are running that make noise, which is also probably the problem with leaving a dishwasher. As much as they say that they're quiet, they're not really quiet. So leaving a dishwasher running on Shabbos is probably also not so respectable. But other than that, if you take out the fact that leaving a dryer going on Shabbos is not appropriate for Shabbos, the clothing themselves would not be a problem of muktzah, even though that was always the classic example, because the metzius of how we dry them has changed over time. Okay, we didn't get to most of what I wanted to get to. All right, maybe next week. We'll see. Okay.